T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
7:46, 14 before 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Wednesday morning, October 20th. Stormy at times today. Highs of 80, and then it's going to warm up through the week. By the weekend, we're talking highs between 86 and 90 degrees, so unseasonably warm. We're talking this hour about rain and high tides and water and storms and protecting the area from flooding. And Chip Klein joins us now, chair of the Coastal Restoration and Protection Authority, to talk about it. How you doing, Chip?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm good. You had to have been, the whole authority had to be happy with the way the system performed during Ida, right?
No doubt about it. I think if there's one, you know, bright spot in all of this, it is that the hurricane risk reduction systems, the levee protection systems that were built after Hurricane Katrina and Rita performed remarkably well. I believe that it's without question saved lives. They prevented hundreds of billions of dollars of additional damage in the greater New Orleans area. And they did exactly what we hoped they would. While a lot of attention has been given to, you know, the levee systems around the greater New Orleans area in St. Bernard, Jefferson, Orleans, there's been significant investments in other levee protection systems across coastal Louisiana, particularly in Lafourche and Terrebonne parishes. And while you saw extensive wind and debris damage in those areas, you did not see the flooding, the overtopping, the breaches that we saw after Hurricane Katrina. And that is because of the investments that have been made in these risk reduction projects and levee protection systems across coastal Louisiana.
But that being said, we're sinking, the tides are rising. How concerned is the protection authority about that, and what programs are underway or planned to deal with that?
Well, it's why we do what we do, right? I think Ida, at the end of the day, really was a gut check for us. It reminded us why we're in this business, why we fight so hard to restore and protect Louisiana. And so protection, you're right, Tommy, is one piece. The other side is addressing the various issues that cause coastal land loss across South Louisiana, from saltwater intrusion, lack of sediment, storms, oil and gas exploration. And what we saw really was two things on the restoration side following Hurricane Ida. Number one, the investments that we have made in restoring our coast over the last several years, whether you look at the barrier islands, some of the marsh creation projects, some of the ridge terracing berms that we have built, all of those things performed remarkably well. We were pleasantly surprised when we flew over with the governor after Ida, how well and sustainable those projects were. So from the Caminata Headland Project, from the Caminata Back Barrier Marsh, Queen Bess, Trinity East, Shell, Barrier Island, Whiskey, all of those things proved to be sustainable. So a lot of times in the public you'll hear, you know, it's great that y'all are making all these investments, but they're just going to be wiped away after the next storm. These restoration investments, they worked. They proved to knock down storm surge, but they also proved to be sustainable. On the other hand, if you look at areas in the north central Barataria Basin, where we have some of the highest rates of land loss anywhere in coastal Louisiana, around the Lake Salvador area, southeast Lafitte, you saw extensive damage and loss to our wetlands. And so those were wetlands that were already on the ground. Those are kind of floating marsh, floton marsh, to where you did see extensive damage. And the primary driver of that is obviously a lack of sediment, that those root systems don't have any sediment to latch onto. And so that's why you see such a focus in the Barataria Basin on large-scale marsh creation projects, where we're pumping quality material from the river – into those areas, but then also reintroducing the Mississippi River, which is going to mimic the natural process, which will ultimately create over 17,000 acres of new land, and it will help sustain some of that existing land and marshland that's in place today. So it's really a twofold approach here. One is obviously continuing to invest in large-scale levee protection systems, your hurricane protection systems, but also continuing to restore the natural buffer. And a lot of people, Tommy, don't appreciate the value that those wetlands provide in knocking down storm surge. So for every 2 miles of wetlands that exist on the ground, storm surge can be knocked down by 1 foot. And so there's a lot of synergies that are realized as a result of both a restoration fold and a protection front. And so both of those efforts work hand in hand, and that's why we have to have the most utmost sense of urgency in addressing these various issues, because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when we're going to get another Ida.
And that brings us to the Barrett Area Diversion. I know Billy Nungesser is against it. We're going to talk to him about tourism in the next half hour, and I'll bring that up as well. But I want to talk about, you mentioned the Floton, which we all learned about, or at least I did after Ida, how it's got to be more than that to provide protection, as I understand it. And that brings us to the diversion of river sand, correct, Chip?
That is correct.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up there and we come back, all right? 7:52, 8 before 8. The seafood people don't like that, but not everybody can always get what they want. We'll talk more when we come back. We'll also talk to Billy Nungesser, get his take on it. Time for traffic now on WWL. 3 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. A couple of minutes with Chip Klein, a couple of minutes left, chair of the Coastal Restoration and Protection Authority. And that's encouraging when you talk about flying over the area and seeing that the projects that are underway were not destroyed by Ida and that they are sustainable. All right, let's talk about Barrett Area Bay Diversion. The seafood people don't like it. Somebody texted in, diversions don't work, or at least they take years to make land. Dredging takes months to a couple of years to make land. Give me your take, if you will, Chip, please, on the whole diversion as opposed to dredging conversation.
So first of all, diversions do work, and we see that across all areas of South Louisiana. The only areas that are growing land today are areas that are directly connected to the Mississippi or Atchafalaya River. That's a fact. That's on all satellite images, it's on Google Earth images, and you can see the progression of that if you really do a deep dive into some of these satellite images. And so, look, diversion, the Mississippi River, it built the land we stand on today. And so there's a lot of concern in the seafood industry. I recognize that. I respect that. But look, the Mississippi River is our lifeline to saving our coast. And so all we have done up to this point in the coastal program is dredge and pump sediment. If that's all we do, Tommy, you're talking about a 20-year future for coastal Louisiana. Because if we don't have anything to nurture those projects, if we don't have anything to sustain those projects, they're going to disappear. And that's what the beautiful thing is about the Mississippi River and the Mid-Barrett Area Sediment Diversion. It's going to create tens of thousands of acres of new land by reintroducing that fresh water and that sediment that built our land to begin with. It's going to sustain the existing land that's in place today, and it's going to sustain those projects that we are building through some of the dredging and pumping of sediment. And so it's not going to take 50 years for that diversion to start building land. If you look in the areas right now in the Atchafalaya Basin where the Atchafalaya River has cut areas of levees in Coon Trap and East Grand Lake, those levee cuts have been made in just months ago, and you now have sandbars. You have channels silting in. The land building starts immediately.
Thank you, Chip. I appreciate your time. I really do. Chip Klein, chair of the Coastal Restoration.